Our last talk of the day is titled Auction Technology in Texas High Plains Cotton. Misha Manucherry, Peter Dautre, Wayne Keeling, Rand Merchant, Seth Thun.
Hey, good afternoon. Can you guys hear me in the back okay? Yes? Okay. So I'm going to talk to you guys about auction technology in Texas High Plains cotton, looking at Enlist and Extend Flex systems. I'm sure we all know what those are by now. They both utilize crop tolerance to new formulations of 2,4-D and dicamba. And in our region, we're using the technology or hope to use it to manage glyphosate-resistant weed species, mostly palmer, and also manage some of our difficult-to-control weeds, such as Russian thistle. In 2013, 14, and 15, we've conducted several experiments looking at weed control systems in both technologies, also looking at several weed species, palmer, Russian thistle, kochia, really trying to find out when what application timings are best. And of course, crop tolerance. And then we're also looking at some challenges that we might encounter with this technology, such as taint contamination and simulated drift. This last season, we've also done some work with nozzle selection and carrier volume. And the objective of all of these studies is really how can we best use auction technology in Texas High Plains cotton. And for the sake of time, I'm going to just focus on three studies, both of our weed control system studies in Enlist and Extend Flex, and then also the taint contamination study, which happens to be in Enlist because that's the subject of my dissertation work, but really could be applied to the dicamba technology as well. So materials and methods, all of these trials were conducted near Lubbock, Texas. They're all arranged in a randomized complete block design. The taint contamination trial was sprayed at a carrier volume of 10 gallons per acre, and the weed control studies were sprayed at a carrier volume of 15. All of the systems either had a pre-plant incorporated herbicide or a pre followed by an early post application when that first flush came up, tried to target weed size around 1 to 2 inches. And that was followed by a mid-post application anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks after that. System treatments for both of the technologies consisted of that pre-plant incorporated herbicide was trifluralin, sometimes a pre of permethrin, and then different post combinations of 2,4-D, dicamba, glyphosate, glufosinate, and sometimes the addition of a soil residual herbicide such as acetachlor or S-metolachlor. In the next couple of slides, when you see MON1, that's going to be the dicamba alone new formulation for Monsanto, and MON7, the dicamba plus glyphosate premix. And then when you see DUO, that's going to be the premix of 2,4-D choline and glyphosate. All of our data was analyzed using PROC-mixed in SAS 9.4, and means were separated using Fissures at a level of 0.05. So jumping into the results, this is just 2015 for the systems work. So there's a number of treatments on the x-axis. I'm just going to point out a couple. And on the y-axis, we have percent control from 0 to 100%. So you can see that our treatments were really a success in 15, nearly all at 100% or very close. And then, of course, I have glyphosate alone followed by glyphosate alone highlighted. And that might not be a surprise to you. For me, it kind of was. That treatment performed pretty well in 13 and 14. We've been having resistant problems really only in the last 5 years. And at this specific location, this was the first year that I could really visually see resistant populations. I would say now we're at about 50%. And then, of course, on the far right, when you don't have a post and you're just relying on that pre-plant incorporated treatment, little to no control. In the Extend Flex systems, This is 21 days after our last treatment, that M-post application. Again, looking at Palmer, don't have quite as many treatments here. All the treatments performing well, above 90%. We see a slight decrease for two treatments that I highlighted. And those treatments, the M-post was glufosinate alone and MON7 when we had either dicamba alone or with glyphosate. We needed the soil residual herbicide plus glyphosate and dicamba. If we didn't have those three, Liberty alone and the M-post timing often wasn't enough. So auxin challenges. Drift and spray tank contamination of auxin herbicides is a major concern in Texas. It's not a new concern, as we have rangeland and cereals in our state. Risk will likely increase with the introduction of this new technology, and our growers are aware of that risk. And what we're trying to do is really just document the sensitivity of cotton to these products. So for the tank contamination trial, which was with 2,4-D, we targeted two growth stages, nine leaf and first bloom, and we had five different rates. Our highest rate is what we called an 8% contamination level. That's 1/12 X rate, and for our X rate, we used a pound of AE per acre, and that's decreasing down to from starting at 1/12 to 1 out of 120 and then continuing. Here's some of the results. This is injury 28 days after treatment, percent injury on the y-axis, and then our rates on the bottom. The red line is our nine leaf timing, and then the blue line is the first bloom timing. So you can see that overall the nine leaf was more sensitive in our region. And for the two lowest rates, we didn't see any differences. Started to see something at that third highest rate. And then at the 1/12 X rate, or the 8% contamination, you can see that have over 60% visual injury for nine leaf and around 20% for first bloom. How this translated into yield loss, I think, is what we're interested in, and there was somewhat of a relationship. You can see for those two lowest rates, no differences in yield. We do see a yield decrease at the third highest rate, that 0.08%, and that didn't really show up on the visual injury. And then, of course, for the two highest rates, significant yield losses. And again, the same trend from the visual injury. Nine leaf was more sensitive than first bloom. Another trial that we've been fortunate to be a part of is the work that Seth Bird did for his dissertation. This was looking at drift rates, simulated drift and tank contamination rates of 2,4-D. There were 12 locations across the southeast and mid-south, and some of the take-home messages from this work, which we also saw in our tank contamination work, was visual injury typically doesn't correlate very well with yield loss. Bull population seems to be a better indicator. As far as peak injury went, when we made an application at the vegetative stage, peak injury tended to be around 4 to 5 weeks, and for more mature cotton, a week after application. And the most critical stage was around nine leaf to first bloom, or 2 weeks after first bloom, and that was considering all the locations, although it was, they were grouped into different areas. So for the weed control systems work, I showed you the 15 work, but I'm just going to briefly touch on 13 and 14. In 2013, and 13 and 14 were drier years for us compared to 15, so just keep that in mind. We achieved at least 85% Palmer control, with the exception of all treatments that included glufosinate alone M-post. In 2014, we achieved at least 90% Palmer control, with the exception of all treatments that didn't include Enlist Duo early post. So when we didn't have 2,4-D in that early application and only had glufosinate M-post. In 2015, which was a wetter year for us, we achieved at least 90% Palmer control, with the exception of that glyphosate-only treatment, just because of our increase in resistance. In the ExtendFlex systems in 2013, we achieved at least 95% Palmer control, with the exception of systems that only included either acetachlor and glufosinate or acetachlor and glyphosate. In 2014, we achieved at least 90% Palmer control, with the exception of glufosinate-only systems. And in 2015, all of our treatments achieved at least 93% control. In summary, for the tank contamination work, visual injury and percent yield loss was greater for nine-leaf cotton than first bloom cotton across all 3 years. For nine-leaf, we had yield losses up to 81%. For the nine-leaf stage, up to 80% for the first bloom. And these are lint yields in 13 and 14. In 2014, up to 94% yield losses and up to 78% in first bloom. And then I just have seed cotton values for this last field season, 42, 72, and 91% yield losses for our three highest rates, and 24 and 65% for our two highest rates in first bloom cotton. So conclusions and future research, we did identify a variety of effective treatments. Of course, those were most effective when used as part of a weed management system. We have put out these treatments just looking at one application as well. The relationship between injury and yield loss is complicated and sometimes pretty poor. Cotton boll population may be a better indicator. And cotton four-leaf to 2 weeks after first bloom is extremely sensitive to 2,4-D. Where we're going with this research, of course, we don't have labels for these products yet, so we still have some questions that we need to ask as far as buffer zones go and tank mix partners. I'd like to acknowledge Dow AgriSciences, Monsanto, and Cotton Incorporated for funding this research. And if we have any time, I'll be happy to take any questions.
We got time. Is there any questions?
In the bowl set data that you have, would it be possible to graph the relationship between the stage of growth and the first bowl loss?
In the plant mapping data that we have? So what we collected...
I think you have.
Yeah, so we collected 10 plants per plot at end of harvest, and per foot of plant we took total open bowls and closed bowls. So that's what we have. I haven't analyzed any of our plant mapping data, but I know Seth did with the 12 locations.
Because there is a relationship between the first bowl loss and the time of exposure. That's probably in the data you collect.
Do we have first bowl loss, Seth? I don't think we have that.
If you have bowls lost, well, I don't know how you map it. I don't know if you discounted them or if you actually...
Yeah, we don't have positioning.
You don't have positioning? Mm-mm. That's a critical value for us to know.
Yes.
Because in terms of the drip, the timing, have you done any work with multiple drips instead of just a single leaf or a single at early bloom? Have you had multiple?
That's a good question. No, we've focused on multiple drift rates and multiple drift timings, two different studies, but not actually like a sequential application. Yeah, we haven't focused on that. It's a good question.
Any other questions? If not, let's thank our speaker.